Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin. My name is Avram Goldar. I am here with Zechus Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Ches, the ninth parak, Misha Meis. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Nafal Abayis Alav Va'al Ishto. A house collapsed on someone and his wife, killing them. The husband's heirs claim the wife died first, and the husband inherited her properties, which they now inherit from him. The wife's heirs claim the husband died first without inheriting her, and she additionally became entitled to her ksuba, all of which they should inherit from her. Beis Shammai says, Yochaloko, they divide the assets equally since we cannot determine who should receive them. Beis Hillel says, Nochasim Becheskasim, the properties meaning her Nixesom Barzol remain in their previously held possession. The Ksuba, which the husband pays, is in the possession of the husband's heirs, and the Nixemolug, which are the wife's properties, are in the possession of the wife's father's heirs. Three interpretations are presented defining Beis Hillel's ruling that Nixesom Barzol, which were initially the wife's property, but the husband is fully responsible for them, remain in their chazaka. Rabbi Yochanan says they are in the husband's heir's possession. Reish Lakish says they are in the wife's heir's possession. And Bar Kappara says they're divided. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Nafal Abayis Alav Va'al Imo, a house collapsed on someone and his unmarried mother, killing them. The mother's heirs, meaning her brothers, claim the son died first and did not inherit her assets, so they inherit her. The son's heirs, meaning his paternal brothers from another mother, claim the mother died first and the son inherited her, so they inherit her assets. The Tanakhama says, Eil ve'eil modin shiyachuloku. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that the groups divide her assets equally. This case differs from the Mishnah on Daf Kufnu and Zayin Amud Aleph, where the two parties made different claims. One was claiming inheritance, while the other was collecting a debt. And from the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, where the assets were considered previously in the possession of different people. Here, both parties are claiming the entire estate through inheritance, so they're divided. Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says that even here, Beis Hillel holds Nechasim Becheskasim. The assets remain in their previously held possession, which the Gemara will define. Ben Azai said to him, Al Chalukim Anu Mitzdarim, we are already paying by the disputed cases, Al Shabasal Chalik Aleinu as a Shavin, but you are coming to dispute the unanimous rulings? And point number three, Rabbi Akiva said that where a mother and her only son died, and their respective heirs dispute who inherits the mother's assets, Beis Hillel rules they remain Becheskasim, in their possession. The Gemara asked to whom this refers. Rabbi Yehuda said, Becheskas Yorsheim, in the possession of the mother's heirs, as the Gemara will explain. Rabbi Zera said, Becheskas Yorsheaben, in the possession of the son's heirs, because the son stood to inherit his mother. When Rabbi Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, he changed his mind to rule like Rabbi Yehuda and commented, Shema mina avir de Eretz Yisrael machkim. We learn from this that the heir of Eretz Yisrael makes one wise, because his immigrating to Eretz Yisrael caused him to reconsider his position and arrive at the truth. Abai explains Rabbi Zera's conclusion, because the estate was in the possession of that shevet of the mother during her lifetime. Since her heirs, meaning her paternal brothers, are from her shevet, and her son's heirs are from the husband's shevet, the assets remain in her shevet's possession and are taken by her heirs. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Nafla Abayis Alav Va'al Ishto, a house collapsed on someone and his wife, killing them. The husband's heirs claim the wife died first, and the husband inherited her properties, which they now inherit from him. The wife's heirs claim the husband died first without inheriting her, and she additionally became entitled to her ksuba, all of which they should inherit from her. Beis Shammai says, Yochaloko, they divide the assets equally since we cannot determine who should receive them. Beis Hillel says, Nechasim Becheskasim, the properties meaning her Nixesom Barzol remain in their previously held possession. The Ksuba, which the husband pays, is in the possession of the husband's heirs, and the Nixemolug, which are the wife's properties, are in the possession of the wife's father's heirs. Three interpretations are presented defining Beis Hillel's ruling that Nixesom Barzol, which were initially the wife's property, but the husband is fully responsible for them, remain in their chazaka. Rabbi Yochanan says they are in the husband's heir's possession. Reish Lakish says they are in the wife's heir's possession. And Bar Kappara says they're divided. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Nafal Abayis Alav Va'al Imo, a house collapsed on someone and his unmarried mother, killing them. The mother's heirs, meaning her brothers, claim the son died first and did not inherit her assets, so they inherit her. The son's heirs, meaning his paternal brothers from another mother, claim the mother died first, and the son inherited her, so they inherit her assets. The Tanakhama says, Eil ve'eil modin shiyachuloku. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that the groups divide her assets equally. This case differs from the Mishnah on Daf Kufnu and Zayin Amud Aleph, where the two parties made different claims. One was claiming inheritance, while the other was collecting a debt. And from the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, where the assets were considered previously in the possession of different people. Here, both parties are claiming the entire estate through inheritance, so they're divided. Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says that even here, Beis Hillel holds nechasim becheskasim, the assets remain in their previously held possession, which the Gemara will define. Ben Azai said to him, Al chalukim anu mitzdarim, we are already paying by the disputed cases, al shabasal chalik aleinu as a shavin, but you are coming to dispute the unanimous rulings? And point number three, Rabbi Akiva said that where a mother and her only son died, and their respective heirs dispute who inherits the mother's assets, Beis Hillel rules they remain becheskasan, in their possession. The Gemara asked to whom this refers. Rabbi Akiva said, becheskas yorshe aim, in the possession of the mother's heirs, as the Gemara will explain. Rabbi Zera said, becheskas yorshe aben, in the possession of the son's heirs, because the son stood to inherit his mother. When Rabbi Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, he changed his mind to rule like Rabbi Ila and commented, Shema mina avir de Eretz Yisrael machkim. We learn from this that the heir of Eretz Yisrael makes one wise because his immigrating to Eretz Yisrael caused him to reconsider his position and arrive at the truth. Abai explains Rabbi Zera's conclusion, because the estate was in the possession of that shevet of the mother during her lifetime. Since her heirs, meaning her paternal brothers, are from her shevet, and her son's heirs are from the husband's shevet, the assets remain in her shevet's possession and are taken by her heirs. All right, so now we go to Siman for Daf Kuf Nun Ches, and this is the first Siman in our Simanim contest for Baba Basra, and the most common suggestion for Kuf Nun Ches was Kinuach, dessert. So we use a dessert reception for the Simmons. So here goes. When the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, and collapsing the house next door, killing someone and his unmarried mother, a rabbi appeared and told the guests who were various heirs to the deceased and debating who died first, that he has clarity now regarding assigning assets since Aver Deretz Yisrael, Machkin. Once again in slow motion. When the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, that must learn Duff. Kufnun Ches, Kinuach. When the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nafla Bais Alav Al-Ishto, a house collapsed on someone and his wife, killing them. The Azim Zeres claim the wife died first and the husband inherited the properties, which they now inherit from him. The wife's heirs claim the husband died first without inheriting her, and she additionally became entitled to her ksuba, all of which they should inherit from her. The Gemara brings Malchok's Beisham Beis Hillel. So when the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, and collapsing the house next door, killing someone and his unmarried mother, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nafla Bais Alav Al-Imo, a house collapsed on someone and his unmarried mother, killing them. The mother's heirs, meaning her brothers, claim the son died first and did not inherit her assets, so they inherit her. The son's heirs, meaning his paternal brothers from another mother, claim the mother died first and the son inherited her, so they inherit her assets. The Tanakhama says, both Beisham and Beis Hillel agree that the groups divide her assets equally. So when the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, and collapsing the house next door, killing someone and his unmarried mother, a rabbi appeared and told the guests, who were various heirs to the deceased, and debating who died first, that he has clarity now regarding assigning assets since Avir Deretz Yisrael, Machkim. Which reminds us, when Rabbi Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, he changed his mind to rule like Rabbi Ila regarding where mother and her only son died, and the respective heirs dispute who inherits the mother's assets, and commented, Shema mina avir de Eretz Yisrael, machim. We learn from this that the heir of Eretz Yisrael makes one wise because his immigrant to Eretz Yisrael caused him to reconsider his position and arrive at the truth. So once again, when the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, and collapsing the house next door, killing someone and his unmarried mother, a rabbi appeared and told the guests, who are various heirs to the deceased, and debating who died first, that he has clarity now regarding assigning assets since Avir Deretz Yisrael, Machkim. All right, so now it's time for a four blabach hazara. Daf Kuf Nun Dod. So the simmer Daf Kuf Nun Dod is a candy man. So here goes. The man looking for Adim to verify his star from the Candyman, that must be Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. The man looking for Adim to verify his star from the Candyman, gifting him a stash of candy, so the Candyman's claim that it was a Matna Shchimera could be ignored, which reminds us, in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, where a gift was given and a dispute arose if the giver was a Shchimera at the time, Remer says the giver must prove he was a Shchimera, and the Chachamim say the recipients must prove he was a Bari to take the property. Amoraim dispute what proof the Mishnah means. Rav Huna says Rai be'edim, proof with edim that he was a Shchimera at the time. He explains that these Tanaim parallel the Machokas quote on the previous daf, whether we assume he was healthy then, if he's healthy now, or we follow the property's Chazaka. Other Amoraim say Rai be'kimashtar, the Chachamim mean proof through certifying the document. So the man looking for aim to verify his star from the candyman gifted him a stash of candy, so the candyman's claim that it was a matna shchimira could be ignored. Found a man insisting that his relative who sold the property was only a katan sucking on a lollipop at the time of the sale, which reminds us, someone once sold his late father's property and died, but his relatives claimed he died as a katan and the sale was invalid. They asked Rabbi Akiva Mahulabotko, what about examining his body to determine if he was a gadol? He responded, Yatam Rishayim Unavu, you are not permitted to disgrace the body by examining it. Furthermore, simanim of maturity tend to change after death, so the examination would prove nothing. So the man looking for Adim to verify his star from the candyman, gifting him a stash of candy so the candyman's claim that it was a matna shchimira could be ignored, found a man insisting that his relative who sold the property was only a katan sucking on a lollipop at the time of the sale, and another man admitting that he wrote a star giving away property, but it was a star pasim, who wasn't believed, which reminds us, the Mishnah Bar Kabar states that if a field's previous owner challenged someone occupying it, and the occupant presented a star that he acquired it, then if the previous owner admits the star was not forged, but says it's a star pasim, a fake document to falsely make the holder appear wealthy, or a star amana, a document of trust, where the buyer was trusted to pay for the land but did not, voiding the sale, then if Adim do not corroborate his claim, we follow the star. Daf Kuf Nun Hey. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Nun Hey is reeds. So here goes. When the young man celebrate his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Hey, Kana, reed. When the young man celebrate his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, which reminds the Gemara asks, Katame Emasai Mocha Benichse Aviv, from when can a youth who is unfamiliar with business sell his late father's properties? The Rashbam adds, this refers to land, but Metaltalin may even be sold by a 6 or 7-year-old. Rava quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 18 years old, but Rav Huna Bar Chinina quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 20. Either way, he must physically be an adult, which was the subject of the examination of the youth who died after selling his father's property. Even a 20-year-old without simanim is halachically a katan unless he shows other symptoms of asaris. The Gemara brings a machlokas if it's within his 20th year or after his 20th year. So when the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, his younger brother, who is only believed to testify about the sale of the reed flute, but not the field, which reminds us, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua says, L'edus eduso edus. Regarding edus, the testimony of a youth who is not old or knowledgeable enough to sell property is valid testimony. Marzutra says this only applies to metaltalin, which he can sell, but regarding real estate, which he cannot sell, his edus is also not accepted. So, when the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, his younger brother, who was only believed to testify about the sale of the reed flute, but not the field, gave his portion of the field as a gift to the man who did him favors, which reminds us, a Amemar says, U'matnasu matana, and the gift of a youth giving away inherited property is a valid gift. He would not give someone a gift unless he received some benefit from him. Therefore, the rabbi said his gift should be valid, so people would do things for him. Daf Kuf Nun Vav. So the simmer Daf Kuf Nun Vav is a canoe. So here goes. The 13-year-old boy is canoeing, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Vav, canoe. The 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simani Bedika Center, which reminds us, Shmuel said, we check a youth for Simanim of adulthood regarding marriage, divorce, chalitza, and miun. The Gemara explains why Shmuel said they should be checked. So, the 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simani Bedika Center, made sure not to dock near the wicked boys who are maintaining kotzim in a kerem, which is problematic because of kolayim, which reminds us, Rabbi Eliezer responded, B'nei Rochel Tikbaram Iman, Rochel's sons, their mother should bury them. They are wicked people. Shmuel explains that Rabbi Eliezer considered Rochel's sons wicked because they were maintaining thistles in their vineyard. He's following his reasoning in the Mishnah, which states, Hamakayim kotzim kerem, if one maintains thistles in his vineyard, Rabbi Eliezer says, Kaddish, this condemns the field as kolayim, but the Chachamim say nothing condemns a field as kolayim except davar shekamohu mekayimin, something the likes of which people maintain. Since people do not generally maintain kotzim, they do not make kolayim. Melezer holds that since in Arabia people maintain kotzim for feeding their animals, it makes kolayim. So, the 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simanim Bedika Center, made sure not to dock near the wicked boys who are maintaining kotzim in a kerem, which is problematic because of kolayim, and was told by a man in a fancy canoe that it was a gift from a shchimira who gave it verbally to him on a Shabbos, which reminds us in the next mission, Rabbi Ezra says, B'Shabbos Dvarv Kayamin, if a shchimira gives a gift on Shabbos, his words are fulfilled without a kinyan, mifnei she'in yachol lichtov, since he cannot write, avro b'cho, but not if it was given on a weekday. He holds that shchimira was enabled to verbally give gifts on Shabbos only when he has no other option. Rabbi Yeshua responds, but Shabbos Amru, they said his verbal gift is effective on Shabbos, kal vachomer b'chol, then it certainly is on a weekday. He argues that if he can verbally give gifts when he lacks the ability to make a kinyan, then he certainly can when he has that ability. Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. So the simmer Daf Kuf Nun Zayin is ice cream cones. So here goes. When the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Zayin, cones, ice cream cones. When the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and the son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because Ein Safik Motzmi De Vada, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nafla Bayis Olam V'Lo Aviv, a house collapsed on someone and his father, or anyone he inherits, and there was a ksuba, a debt, against the son's assets. The father's heirs claim, HaBen Meis Rishon V'Achachach Meis Av, the son died first and afterwards the father died. Thus, the son did not inherit the father's assets, and they cannot be collected for his obligations. The creditors claim the father died first and the son inherited him before dying, so his debts can be collected from these assets. Beis Shammai says, Yochaloku, the father's heirs and son's creditors divide the estate. Beis Hillel says, Nechasim bechazkasim, the properties remain in the possession of the father's heirs. Beis Hillel rules, Ein safek motzmi deivade, an uncertain claim cannot extract from a certain claim. So when the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and the son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because Ein Safik Motzmi De Vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him to ekne. So when the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and the son's creditor couldn't collect because Ein Safik Motzmi De Vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him to ekne. Which reminds us, Shmuel asked, De ekne v'kanamau, if a borrower writes it in the shtar that he's meshabed whatever properties I will acquire, and he later acquired property, what is the halacha? Does it become a shubad to the earlier loans? So when the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and his son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because Ein Safik Motzmi De Vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him De ekne, but found out he would have to split it with another lender because the borrower also told him De ekne, which reminds us. The Gemara discusses what the din is if one borrowed from two people saying De ekne and then purchased property. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do you discuss what the minimum age is to sell inherited property? That's on daf Kuf Nun Hey. Good number two, which daf do the Machlokes regarding who must prove if the benefactor was a Shchimira or a Bari? That's on daf Kuf Nun Gimel. Good number three, which daf do the case of a house collapsing on a man and his wife and the heirs debating who died first? That's on daf Kuf Nun Ches. Good number four, which daf to Malchus if the giver must prove he was a Shchimira with Edim or with Kimushdar? That's on daf Kuf Nun Dal. Good number five, which daf to the case of a house that collapsed on someone and his father and there was a ksuba or debt against the son's assets? That's on daf Kuf Nun Zayin. Good number six, which daf to Malchus if Rochel's sons were Roshayim for maintaining Kotsim in their Kerem? That's on daf Kuf Nun Vav. Good number seven, which daf do we learn Avir de Eretz Yisrael? Machim, that's on daf Kuf Nun Ches. Good number eight, which daf do Machokas about a Matna Shchimira on a weekday versus Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf Nun Vav. Good number nine, which daf do the case of a house collapsing on a son and his unmarried mother and the heirs debating who died first? That's on daf Kuf Nun Ches. Good. Number 10, which daf do we have the sugi of Dakne if property purchased after a loan can become meshubit to the loan? That's on daf Kuf Nun Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Ram Golder from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.